We have a lot of student achievements and awards to go over, so we're going to get started and get right into that part. We thank you all for coming. Pledge of Allegiance.
I'll start.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
If we don't have any student government reps.
Do we have any student government reps from the high school or the middle schools? All right. I'm going to propose that we jump right into the student awards, then we can do the board announcements and the superintendent's announcements. So I think everyone's got the little brochure that we had out there, and who goes first?
I'll just jump right in.
Happy New Year, everyone.
That's number one. Happy New Year. I see everyone holding up there.
Oh.
Well, we have the digital
version. Good evening.
We have the digital
version. Well, thank you for including us. It's always so nice to take part in these festivities, and it's always my honor and pleasure to recognize members of our graduating class who have some great achievements. We will start with four of our graduating seniors who have been named as semifinalists in the 2016 National Merit Scholarship Competition. These four students are among 15,000 nationwide out of about 1.5 million students who took the PSAT last year, and they are currently in competition for about 7,000 scholarships, so we, of course, wish them the best of luck. They are Zachary Goldstein, Aaron Myers, Aaron's home studying, Sabrina Song. Sabrina, and Anna Vainrub. Okay, next I'm happy to recognize two of our students who have been named scholars in the 2015 National Hispanic Recognition Program. This program is also based on the PSATs, and these students scored among the top 2.5% of all Hispanic and Latino students in our region. Our two students are Aaron Myers and Daniel Solnick.
Come up again. She just stood up there.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Mr. Braco.
You're outside. They're coming in.
Oh, boy.
We should play the fight song and get it all, get it revved up like they're running through the tunnel and stuff.
I just thought the same thing. What?
Do we have a fight song?
Coach Amberry, everybody.
The
well, girls. We don't have that.
And the girls.
Come on, Tim.
I'm just simpatico.
Yeah, go. There's some seats out there for front. Yeah.
Everything's good.
So first I'd like to thank the Board of Education and Central Administration for having an event like this. Anytime that we can celebrate student achievement, it's a wonderful thing. And the students that you see up here first, is this is the varsity football team for Plainview Old Bethpage for this year. This year, this team was recognized by New York State Public High School Athletic Association as having the highest GPA for any team, for any football team in New York State. So that's all, that's the entire state, and their team GPA, just so you know, was 97.4. This is it's a great testament not only to the student athletes, but to the coaches, to the teachers, to the administration, and everything, really showing that the students up here can be students and athletes at the same time. There were some great individual achievements on the field for us this year, but most importantly, they did a wonderful job in the classroom. And a lot of these students are going to go into very high-achieving academic institutions next year. And all the students that are coming back, they're going to come back, and we're going to try to challenge for the playoffs once again. I'm going to quickly just read off all the students' names on the team, and afterwards you'll be receiving your certificates outside, boys. All right. Dylan Bucking, Nick Conti, Mike Conti, Mike Crawbuck, Brian DeGennaro, Greg Ferrari, Jordan Futterman, Brendan Fitzpatrick, Matt Glogauer, Spencer Goldberg, Ross Gillum, Jake Heimowitz, Sam Ingardia, Brent Israel, Harrison Kiriakou, Christoph Kalamidis, John Leosa, Chris Montgomery, Ben Malamud, Nico Mueller, CJ Masachi, Evan Melly, Jason Napoli, Kevin Pastier, Kevin Pizarz, Ben Radish, Eric Stalzer, Jeff Yu, and Willie Zuckerberg. I would also like to talk about our coaches, Coach Rogler, Coach Jones, Coach Giacovino, Coach Thomas Sewell, and Coach Amber, and congratulations on all the outstanding work this year, boys.
Thank you, Mr. Braco. Ms. Barry?
Good evening. Happy New Year. We've had a very good week and a very good fall. We will be bringing back our Intel semifinalists later on, but we were thrilled to have an Intel semifinalist this year, Corey Dowman. This evening, we're going to be recognizing some of our other students, and these are all different competitions than what we've participated in the past. The competitions that the students won this year in the fall were all of their own doing. Mrs. O'Donnell puts out on the Edmodo site various opportunities for the students to take advantage of above and beyond what they do in their regular class work. These students all took the initiative on their own, came in, said that they were interested in these contests, and with the support of their teachers, pursued them and won, which is really phenomenal. The first is the Rising Scientist Award, and this is through the Child Mind Institute of New York City. This goes to an 11th grader, but they're awarded in their 12th grade year. And this year's recipient of a $1,000 college scholarship is to Anna Van Rub.
Congratulations. Good job.
The next three actually have more of a mentoring connection, where the students have an opportunity to get mentors in the STEM fields, which is a great opportunity, and it's very rare that we're able to have that happen with some of our younger students. The next award goes to three individuals who were recognized through the Junior Academy for exceptional students who are interested in STEM. These students will be now connected with mentors in the leading STEM areas. The recipients of this through the New York Academy of Science are Julia Park, Jeffrey Wang, and Safia Mirza.
Congratulations. Congratulations. Good job.
Nice job. The next is the 1,000 Girls, 1,000 Futures Award. This is also through the New York Academy of Science, and this focuses on women in the STEM industries. And this results in a mentorship experience that will highlight a career path and provide a STEM model specifically for the student winner. And our winner is Kiana Ziadakimpour. And she's home study. And last but certainly not least, another awesome award is the Emperor Science Program. This program also provides a mentorship and a placement in a cancer research multi-week program. And the student is also going to be awarded a Google Chromebook as well as a $1,500 project to work towards their expenses for the summer. This goes to Julia Park. Nice job. Congratulations. Thank you again.
Thank you, Ms. Barry. Ms. Carnesi?
Good evening. In December, JFK's Model UN Club, fondly known as METMONK, hosted its 44th annual Model UN Conference. More than 400 students from 17 schools from Long Island, New York City, Connecticut, and even the Dominican Republic spent 2 days debating some of the most pressing international issues of our turbulent times. Model UN challenges students to learn about the world, identify problems, develop possible solutions, step into the shoes of a different nation, and negotiate with others with distinctly different interests. Each of the students we recognize tonight were key staff members who helped make the conference a rousing success. They put in hours as the planners, teachers, researchers, writers, editors, and organizers. In addition, these 17 students found the time and commitment to participate in the 4-day Princeton University Model UN Conference last November. This was JFK's first collegiate level conference. There they took on students from some of the most elite prep schools and Model UN programs in the country. More than 1,000 students from across the U.S. and other countries hotly debated and fiercely negotiated. It was a whole new level of competition that was at times quite cutthroat. Huddled together in the evenings, the students discussed their frustrations and challenges, and together with their advisor, Mrs. Bobby Robinson, decided that they would stick to their JFK METMONK values of honesty and integrity. If they didn't win any awards, it would be okay because the experience in itself had been terrific. So the delegation was shocked and delighted when awards were announced at closing ceremonies. 10 of our 17 students received honorable mention awards, and the group together was named the Outstanding Small Delegation. Please join me in congratulating Mitchell Burns. Derek Gleason. Zachary Goldstein. Nicholas Aluzzi. Eric Covell. Rachel Kubrick. Congratulations, Rachel.
Thank you.
Alana Luther. Arvin Minucha. Sorry. Amber, I need the glasses, I'm sorry. I'm trying not to. Have to stop fighting it. Amber Mirza. Sophia Mirza. Connor Riley. Adam Robinson. Congratulations, Adam. Millie Shaw. Jordan Stewart.
Congratulations, Jordan.
Seth Tierson. Elizabeth Verghese. And Anna Vainrup. Wonderful job. Thank you.
Good evening. On behalf of Mr. Galbert, our director of music, who couldn't be with us here tonight, I'd like to present some, recognize some students for their fantastic work in music. In the category of All-State Music Festival artists, we'd like to recognize the following students. Please come up when I call your name. Stephanie Hanshow. Courtney Hedgecock. Samuel Howell.
Congratulations.
Max Custer. Jennifer Lancaster. Matthew Leo. Kristen Lunt. Alexandria Pineda.
Congratulations.
Michelle Shin. Jeffrey Song. Madison Weiser. In the category of All National Music Festival recognition, Ingo Kang, yeah. Jason Kimball, yeah. Natalie Toba, yeah. And Guri Lee. Yeah.
Did I say the first name right?
Yes.
I did? No?
Yes.
We have a Long Island Scholar Artist winner for merit in theater, Jenna Gerke.
Congratulations, Jenna.
Thank you.
For their accomplishments in music, ladies and gentlemen.
Thanks, guys. Thank you. Thanks, guys.
And I'd like to introduce Ben Riley, our Director of Art and Digital Instruction.
Good evening. It is also my pleasure and honor to be here tonight to highlight a few of the amazing visual arts students we have at Plainview Old Bethpage. These students, with the support of their families, numerous art teachers, and the wonderful programs Plainview Old Bethpage has to offer, makes us all very proud. First, I would like to recognize a 2015-16 Scholar Artist Award of Merit winner for visual arts. This honor recognizes students who are judged to be the best of the best on Long Island in both academics and the arts. There are only 20 students selected on Long Island as Award of Merit winners each year, and the application process is quite intense. An opening ceremony was held this fall where each of the honored students were named, and a closing ceremony for this prestigious award will be held at the Tilla Center this spring. We are honored to name Rachel Kubrick as a Scholar Artist Award of Merit winner this year. Each year, Long Island University holds a high school student art exhibition for advanced placement students only. The title of the show is Advanced Visions, Artists of Excellence, and is currently on display at the Student Art League Gallery at CW Post. The Advanced Visions exhibition features the work of high school artists of excellence from both NASA and Suffolk County. Two students this year were selected for this honor. Congratulations first to Nawun Choi and Nicole Yoon. Guess they're home drawing pictures, doing art. Six visual art students from the JFK High School were selected to participate in the 2015 Embracing Our Differences exhibit, sponsored by the Suffolk Center of the Holocaust, Diversity, and Human Understanding. Embracing Our Differences is a meaningful effort to build a community that values peaceful coexistence and cultural understanding. The students' artwork within the show was blown up to billboard-sized displays and showed from October 28th through November 8th at the South Ocean Ave Middle School, located in Patchogue. Congratulations to the following artists: Talia Bloom, Julia Castarella, congratulations, you stay here, Ellie Lee, congratulations, Gupert Singh, congratulations, Aiden Spencer, congratulations, and Corinne Testa. Congratulations. Thanks. Last but not least, three students this fall were chosen to represent Plainfield Bethpage in the Nightmare on Main Street art exhibition hosted by the Huntington Art Council. The works in the show were selected in order to capture the true spirit of Halloween, whether it be playful, scary, or highlighting the power of the imagination. Student artwork was displayed at the Main Street Gallery in the Huntington Village from October 19th through the 31st. Congratulations to the following students for being selected participants in this frightening exhibition. Nicole Ruiz. Michelle Shin. And Aiden Spencer. He is here. Thank you.
We didn't have Corey come today. I did mention in the beginning, just briefly. The interesting part about Corey's project is that it had to do with social media. And I thought, very, very timely. So we're keeping our fingers and toes crossed, and hopefully we'll hear within a couple of weeks. Okay, but we'll definitely have her back, and she'll present a little bit. Okay, thank you. Yeah, awesome. Thank you.
We'll take a brief break so people can take pictures or exit the room, and then we'll start with the regular meeting. Hey, welcome back, everyone, and now we'll continue with our regularly scheduled board meeting. And we'll start with board announcements. Do we have any board announcements?
Sorry.
I'm looking this way first. Nothing?
Come on, guys.
Emily.
I would just like to thank the people remaining here for being civic-minded enough to care about Board of Ed issues instead of buying Powerball tickets in the pool parking lot. So thank you very much. And happy.
I just wanted to say that I read on social media last week, and this was a positive, so I wanted to share this. I was unable to attend the a cappella night at the high school, but many parents had gone, not only who had children in the high school, but also middle and elementary. And a lot of the elementary parents were saying how wonderful it was, the concert itself, and that they had the opportunity of bringing their children and exposing them to these are the kinds of experiences that you have in store for you. So I wanted to give a shout-out to the high school, but also maybe we can think of different ways of communicating to parents throughout the district some of these events, the shows at the middle schools and the high school, to expose their kids to them earlier.
Mr. Greenberg.
Two meetings ago gave the board an update on the policy committee happenings. So here's a further update on that. At the next meeting, the policy committee, so in 2 weeks from today, the policy committee will be presenting two new policies to the full board for their consideration. And we'll also be requesting feedback from all of our stakeholder groups. The first policy is a policy involving adult code of conduct, and the second is a policy regarding the use of unmanned aerial vehicles on school property.
The world has changed.
We are leading the state on that, I guess. In the weeks that follow that, or the weeks or months that follow that, we have been working on and hope to introduce a policy addressing gender issues, gender identity, as well as a policy involving the opiate antidote Narcan. And in our conversations, also related to wellness, we began discussing the feasibility of a policy involving the stockpiling and administration of EpiPens in emergency situations. Last year, the State Education Department issued guidance regarding the use of EpiPens, and since then, some districts, including some of our neighboring districts, have taken another look at their policies on wellness and involving student health services and have incorporated the EpiPen use into emergency situations into those policies. Unless the board has any objection to us continuing to explore that, as our hope to continue to discuss this and put something together for at least your consideration. So hearing none, we'll, I guess, move forward. The other last thing that we had talked about was with regard to the process of adopting policies itself. We ordinarily send draft policies out to various different stakeholder groups for feedback, and we discuss having the student government also be included in that mix and be copied on the policies. The students themselves are stakeholders in our community, and to the extent they have an opinion... Yeah, and to the extent that they have an opinion or a viewpoint, yeah. Okay. To the extent they have an opinion or a viewpoint, I think it's important to hear from them. So, that was it. Oh, and the last thing we mentioned last time, but we're now getting more involved. We're working with the New York State School Boards Association to do a revamping of our policy book. We received a first third of it. It's a process that's going to take us some time, but we got the first one of three binders, essentially, is what it would come out to. So the hope is that we'll be able to consolidate, you know, some of the recommendations to consolidate policies where you have it in piecemeal in different places, to put it all together, to make it more uniform, consistent with the NISBA's policy numbering system. I guess makes it easier to reference and easier to search. So,
and it'll also be available digitally from that point.
Yes. Correct.
In a searchable format.
Right.
As the
we currently do have our policies on board docs in a searchable
right.
format, but
they're not easy to
correct.
Right.
It's a little bit easier to do. So the policy committee has been very busy.
Very good. Thank you. Thank you very much, policy very committee. Anyone else with any board announcements? I just wanted to mention there was an article in Newsday this past week about state aid being returned to districts. There's still a debate about how much aid would come to Long Island districts such as ours. Would it be through the gap elimination aid or the foundation aid formula? But the article had a number of us getting a potential $1 million in aid. So we're hoping this happens and lobby your local governments. And from our point of view, we want it back as gap elimination aid. That gets us the biggest amount. So hopefully that'll work out. And as soon as we have more information on that, we'll share it with you. Right now, the numbers aren't known, but it's a very good sign.
So that gap elimination aid is not is money that they took from us in the first place. So it's not new money. It's money that they took from us 2 years ago. And last year they gave us a third of it back, and we're hoping that we'll get the rest of it for the 16-17 operating budget. We had a wonderful series of concerts. I was only able to go to one. But I know many of the board members did, in fact, attend so many of the concerts, and it's always so wonderful. The music department does such a great job, so thank you. In tomorrow's Newsday, you will see coverage of a letter that three organizations have sent to Governor Cuomo. I'm president for the Nassau Superintendents Association. We collaborated with Suffolk and four other counties in the Lower Hudson, Westchester, Rockland, Dutchess, and Putnam. I always forget Putnam. Anyway, so six counties, all the superintendents signed on to sort of give him our opinions on 3012D and 3012C, which are the APPR laws, and what needs to happen as a result of the task force's recommendations. So I have copies of the letter out there, and also it's posted on the website. It will be covered in Newsday, as I said yesterday. But basically, we have this law that has been imposed upon us. And then Governor Cuomo put together a task force. The task force came up with 21 recommendations, and one of them being that you can no longer use a student assessment data from the 3 through 8 math and ELA assessment results to evaluate teachers. But in doing so, the state ed responded with some regulations that actually creates a more difficult situation for us, in that the law doesn't go away. We still now have to create locally developed SLOs, locally developed assessments. And the onus is on us to either create them or buy new assessments. So in this new law, which is related to the old standards, we now have to do more work as a district and use more resources to create these local assessments. So that's one of the things that, and give more tests, as you said. So that's one of the things that we've raised, that while state ed is sorting out all of that they have to do, we've asked for a moratorium on the SLOs, as well as for the other part of the APPR composite score, and to focus mostly on the rubric, which is really what we have gathered the most information from. The rubric that is a set of standards that guides how we go into classrooms and do our observations, and requires us to do more frequent observations. So we feel that we have benefited from that across the state, has created a uniform way of looking at our practice, and that while we're in the transition of trying to develop new assessments and new growth models, that we abandon trying to create something and focus on the observation piece. The other thing is that we're all busy trying to, we have what's called a hardship waiver that we all applied for, almost, I think, 600 districts. In New York State, there are 600 districts applied for a hardship waiver, which says keep the old APPR plan that we have in place until the new assessments are unveiled. Well, state ed allowed us to do that hardship waiver through March, but required us again to apply for a hardship waiver in March. And so part of what we're requesting of the governor, and only the governor can do this, state ed has told me that they don't have the authority to do this, is to abandon the application process for applying for a hardship waiver for the rest of the year, but to allow us to just continue to operate under 3012C while we continue to negotiate 3012D. So if it doesn't make sense to you, it doesn't make sense to a lot of us. But basically, stop wasting our time, have us focus on instruction and what's in the classroom, and making meaningful experiences for children. That's the bottom line. So that was what the letter is about.
You'll publish that on the website?
It's on the website. I posted it on the website as soon as I knew that the governor's office had it. That's all, folks.
Do we have a motion for routine business? Oh, wait, I'm sorry. Got ahead of myself. Public participation. Yep. Here we go. District policy number 1510.1 provides that persons wishing to make comments or raise questions shall, one, state their current name and address, and two, indicate on whose behalf they are speaking if a non-resident. The policy prohibits public discussion on matters relating to staff and students at which their reputation, privacy, or rights of due process, or those of others could be in some way violated. Remarks are limited to 3 minutes. We ask that everyone be courteous, respectful, and kind while others are speaking. The floor is open. Got to do it the right way.
Is this the public participation for the night?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. No, I just didn't know.
Okay. Stephanie Nelkins, 55 Acorn Lane. Asking about Algebra 2 trigonometry, trig, which is my big focus of the year, it seems. What I just wanted to talk about, I know I've been asking about a plan and this and that, and I've been told something was going to happen. I got an email last week, but I haven't seen anything definite. What I wanted to just share, and it's something that I want back, but I'm happy to pass it around. This was what actually, we're all aware that Jericho's kids took the integrated algebra regents last year. This was information that they put online for everyone. For that regents. So what you can see in their plan is their dates, their times, all that kind of stuff. But what I really love about what they did, and I wish I had when my son was legally taking the integrated algebra regents, they went category by category, you know, topic by topic, and they provided information of what the topic is, questions and answers. So actually someone could print this and use this as a guide. A kid could use this independently to study what they needed. They could use it with someone or whatever, but they had someone. So whether or not they went to the classes, they had a whole packet. So I'm happy to pass this around, but I would like it back. But I was wondering if we had, or you could see something like that, might be something to possibly aspire to help the kids out so they had more to go with.
So I'm aware that the trig topics and review sessions have been e-blasted, and I brought an extra copy for you in case you haven't seen it. So for the record,
session one
will cover the topic of sum and differences and angles the week of February 22nd. Section two will cover double and half angles the week of February 29th. Session three will cover solve trig equations the week of March 7th. And session four will cover graphs and properties of inverse cofunctions the week of March 14th. Beginning the week of May 9th, we will be offering comprehensive Common Core Algebra 2 Regents review sessions in order to prepare students for the Regents exam. More details will follow as the specific dates and times. So I'll give you a copy of it.
These are the specific topics. When was that sent?
I don't know exactly when it was sent, but I'm giving you the information that you asked for. And it will be posted on the website.
Yeah, that's weird because I didn't get that.
I'm giving you the information.
No, I didn't receive. No, we're both. And that's fine, but there are other topics besides this as well as there are non-trig, non-Common Core topics that are still on the Regents. And what's the plan for that as well? It's a test. My kid's taking the test. He's got to walk in prepared. You know what I'm saying? I'm not, you know, it is what it is. You know, these are trig.
The trig topics that are going to be covered on those topics, I believe, would be covered on the pre-calculus next year. Am I correct? Topics that we've identified are topics that would not be covered this year but might be in the pre-calc for next year.
Correct. Any trig topics that are
right. That's why we pulled them out.
And then they'll also be formally put into the pre-calculus.
Right. Okay.
No, but there are questions that are not Common Core math, covered in Common Core math, mm-hmm. that are not trig, but they're still part of Algebra 2 trigonometry.
So I'll talk to you offline about that.
Well, I'm not sure what that means. Okay, because
we provided it, and it's not enough. So,
well, I don't find it to be very specific, that's all, and no one else does either.
But that's okay, I'll keep on asking.
It would be nice if Jericho had this for Algebra 2 available for us to copy.
This is Algebra 1.
Exactly.
That's a beautiful, you know, I mean, I'm sure that was a lot of work to put together, but it's an amazing thing to have. You know, I just...
Well, don't.
That our
don't.
They're not going to be mad at me. It's okay. Ivy Chasen, 132 Washington Avenue. I have not been up about this topic, but I am extraordinarily concerned. My son is in honors algebra 2. I'm not interested in math topics at all. I don't know anything about the math topics. I don't even know what's in this review sheet. I see that it's four topics, where Algebra 2 and Trig was 11 weeks of trigonometry. This is 4 hours. And my kid is going to take AP Physics. My kid is going to take the new SAT. My kid is going to take the ACT, and he doesn't have, he's not prepared. Most of the districts that I'm hearing, even though they published that they were doing Algebra 2, Common Core, are not doing Algebra 2. They're doing Algebra 2 Trig. The state is now pushing to go back to Algebra 2 and Trig, starting possibly as early as September, and my kid is in Algebra 2, and we've seen no movement in trying to help us. This is the first time I'm seeing this. It did not go out today. Definitely did not. Definitely did not. Because my, all right. But I feel as if the district is pushing back more on just helping these kids. This cohort of Algebra 2 students is getting not what they need. They're just not getting it. And if you're going to take the new SAT, we have no idea what's even in it. These kids don't know anything. I'm very concerned about taking it into pre-calc, where they're not going to get, they're going to shove 11 weeks in the first few weeks of pre-calc before they start taking this new SAT, which has no review, and they don't have what they need. There's also a cohort of kids taking AP Physics now who are saying that you need a lot of this math to take these classes. You might know something about this because that's what, you know, you know, that's your background. But I'm very concerned that this hasn't been addressed.
So the trigonometry that is in the old Algebra 2 trig, mm-hmm. There are the topics that have been, because the Algebra 2 without trig is not devoid of trig. It just doesn't have that name. There are topics in trig that are still in Algebra 2. Mm-hmm. But those topics that we've identified on that sheet of paper, and I think, do we have extra copies of that?
I have.
We have extra copies out there.
And I have gotten
so those
the
are topics that will be covered. And we believe that that fulfills the gap to prepare the kids for the trig exam. As a physics teacher...
The second algebra two trig. The one that's later.
Right. Now, let me just correct a misunderstanding, which I think you have. The state is not going to have a trig exam next year. Trust me. I'm begging them to do it, but they're not going to have it. So those districts that have chosen not to do not teach Algebra 2 Common Core this year, they have the option of not teaching to Algebra 2. However, all of those students have to take the Algebra 2 exam. This year, any student who's in that cohort with your child has to take the Algebra 2 exam. It doesn't count, but they must take it. Mm-hmm. So they will have a score on the Algebra 2. They will have a score on the Algebra 2 trig, and the higher of the two scores will go on the
which
transcript.
Which is what we were, had too. We were taking
right.
the first one.
Right, which you will do.
The second
right,
one. We,
which
know,
you
that.
Will do. The following year, that option does not exist, and all districts will have to do Algebra 2. So the difference here is there are some districts that have decided we're going to gamble, that this, because at the beginning of the year, we might have gambled that the state might have put the trig back in for next year. They don't have the resources to do that. I have no doubt that within the next 3 years, some of that trig will be back. No doubt.
I'm sure you're right.
The other thing that I want to clear up with you and to anybody who's listening, the new SAT will be aligned to the Common Core, so it would be more similar to the Algebra 2. So if your child is taking the new SAT, they're more prepared.
No choice. With has to.
They would be more prepared with the new curriculum. I'm not saying they're right, but the issue is that David Coleman, the same person who created havoc in New York, is now the president of Princeton Review, that whole structure, so so they're moving in that direction.
That's interesting.
Now, ACT has figured out that people are going to go to ACT. So that you do have a point in terms of ACT. But even the trig on the ACT, there are very few topics that, very, very few on the ACT that would not have been covered under the trig topics that we have covered in algebra and geometry and algebra 2. So whatever we're missing, we will make up for the ACTs. But for the new SATs, there are no disadvantages.
So this will be the fourth year that this cohort has had a rewritten curriculum.
Absolutely.
Never tested.
Absolutely.
Never tried.
Absolutely. And you are saying exactly, my Friday calls, I spend an hour with state ed every Friday, and this is exactly my discussion.
I know you're
the same kids.
You were the first one to write the letter.
Right,
I
the same kids. It's almost like, you're probably too young to remember this Get Smart visual where you go through the door and the door closes. That's been your child's cohort. And I feel for them. But the other piece is that these kids have done exceptionally well on the algebra and the geometry. And we're going to do all we can to be sure that they're not disadvantaged. And I
just
think
so
that
you know,
Mr.
There is a huge group of people in this community cohort
yes.
who are willing and able and pushing to support their own trigonometry class outside of the school system.
They I've heard
so
that.
So frustrated.
Yeah, and I've
they
heard
are
that.
So angry that they're getting pushed aside
but
and not
they're
being
not,
heard.
Though.
But you're not. We're not being heard that these kids should be taught on Saturdays or in the evenings or whenever it can happen. It just needs to happen somehow. And I don't have confidence that the beginning of pre-calc that's going to be written over this summer is going to have what they need to support physics and calculus, let's say, as seniors.
You said I was a physics teacher. I am a yeah. physics teacher. I'm always going to be a physics teacher. I am telling you that the level of trigonometry that you need to
okay.
begin a physics class is definitely, definitely already under their belt. I mean, it's Sakatoa. It's basically
right.
sine, cosine, tangent.
They know that. Yeah.
And so, you know, that's the level of the trigonometry. You're not going to be doing any of the proofs and all of that.
And again,
that's
I know
not a problem.
About it. I just
but
know
I
that
do.
They need
but
to
I
get
do.
To, like the schools that they need to get into. It's very important.
Yeah. You raise an important point. You raise an important point about the trig topics. This is something that SED has never even thought about. They, you know, we're the ones articulating that. We continue to articulate it. We have identified topics. Mr. Bowen has identified the topics.
There were articles last week that said they're considering completely going back.
They're putting together a math committee.
Yeah.
Absolutely. They're putting together a math committee to do the revisions. But I am telling you, it will not be ready for September. Which is next year.
Yeah. I just
it's
have
not.
One other point that this was great because I really appreciate you answering my questions. I feel that there needs to be answers or addressing people, not privately but publicly. I feel this has come up a few times before, but I think my class, the people that I talk to, who come to me every single day asking me what to do because my kid's in a really good school, they want to know how to get their kids into the school. So when you articulate that, there's not enough people here to hear it, and they need to hear it. They need to know for sure that they're getting heard. But responses, Gary, to the questions should not be private. It should be public so that people hear what the answers are. It doesn't have to be all of them, but most of them. This particular one is very public.
I appreciate that. That's one of the reasons I read into the minutes the actual topics and date and time, so that if anyone were listening to the minutes, to the recording.
Even you didn't listen to the audio recording.
I did sometimes. But however, I did.
But
so
I feel like
we'll have to find a way to...
There's more communication.
Right.
That can
so we e-blasted it, or if it didn't go out,
maybe
we will,
right.
So that people will know that these are the topics that we've identified that we need to fulfill. The other topics will be folded into the course, but those topics will not, and so we'll do that.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Anybody else? Okay, do I have a motion for routine business? Ginger? Lauren? Any hold separations? All those in favor? New business. Additional staff development proposals. Do we have a...
Business. I once again wanted to thank SNAP for a donation that they made.
Awesome. Okay, staff development.
Motion for the additional staff development proposals.
Debbie, Ginger, discussion. All those in favor? Math workshops for parent community at Pasadena. Ginger, Seth, discussions. I know we did this at one or two other elementary schools or Old Bethpage?
We did it at Old Bethpage.
How was the turnout?
4 parents.
All right, so it'll be interesting to see how many people show up for this one. All those in favor? Next.
Resolution.
We have a resolution, which is a resolution for settlement. So do I have a motion? Seth, Debbie, all those in favor? Next, we have a commencement of legal action. The motion, Debbie, Ginger. The discussion, the commencement for legal action has to do with the pilot payments in lieu of taxes that, and whether the county has gotten the payments from LIPA or not, and when or if we'll get the payments, because we need those as a revenue source for our budget, obviously. So we are meeting with our attorneys to make sure that the school district's interests are looked out for, and it could very well lead to litigation. Anything else? All those in favor? All right. So I have a motion for executive session for matters of contracts. Emily, Lauren, all those in favor? Thank you very much. See you in 2 weeks.
It's Jill. Okay. We need to text Jill.